Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. What is a fruit? A fruit is the best. He is constantly training and conditioning himself to meet and overcome all obstacles in his path. His sole purpose is to help to deliver the 17 million or more dead to the Lamb of God, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad. To do this, he is compelled to be obedient, tolerant, militant, courteous, humble, honest, dependable. A fruit is obedient to the laws of Islam and those in authority. His conduct is militant. He is humble and submissive. He is tolerant and understanding. He is courteous and respectful. He is honest in thoughts, deeds, and actions. He is alert and dependable.
No, sir. All right. What? All right, sir, you can cut. Assalamu alaikum, sir, you can cut that, sir. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant. I want to start the show this way tonight. We receive word that one of our brothers, soldier and warrior, the family of Venezuela, the president, Hugo Chavez, has made his transition today. We want to give original salute to the family of Venezuela for such a great soldier and warrior on the front line, Brother President Hugo Chavez. Let me start this way tonight, everyone. You are out on the front line with the fruit of Islam tonight. Tonight we have a very special show. We have the MGT who are out with us tonight on the front line. Tonight we have with us Sister Charlene Muhammad. We have with us Sister Charlene Muhammad from Mas Mariam. We also have with us Sister A.T. Hamid, bound in Austin, Texas. Sister Andrea Muhammad, who has stepped in tonight. Sister Dawn Muhammad couldn't be with us. And we have with us our sister, Sister Gidget Aziza Mariam Muhammad, who is the protocol director of this network. Assalamu alaikum, sisters.
Wa alaikum salam,
everyone.
Beautiful, beautiful. Let me see who was on the line. Sister Charlene there? All right, Sister A.T.?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you, beloved?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing fine, my sister. Haven't heard your voice in so long. We used to be in a study group together back in Decatur back
right.
in the day when Brother Sterling, yes, before he made his transition. And Sister
right.
Andrea, Sister Andrea, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Beautiful, my sister. And Sister Gidget Muhammad, are you there?
Front and center, sir.
All right. Let's get started. Savior's Day. Let me say to the listening audience, if you're listening on the line tonight, give us a call. If you heard the Savior's Day message from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, give us a call. Let us hear what you got out of the message. And tonight we want to talk to our sisters tonight about Muhammad's economic program against poverty and want. The blueprint, if you will. Sister A.T., let me start with you, sister. What struck out at you the most? Give me one good talking point that really got to you on Savior's Day.
Wow. Economics, in terms of economics, well, not just in terms of economics. Let me just start all over. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I greet everybody. Assalamu alaikum. It's an honor to be on the show. And I just want to say, thing that really stood, well, the whole speech was just off the chain, dynamic, but you know what really struck me was when he talked about our habits, and he talked about how our present economic state, we owe some of the responsibility of that. And when he went into the historical backdrop of what has led to our spending habits, that really, really stuck out to me, particularly when he talked about how the banking industry has treated us, how we've been unable to save because of the lack of institutions, and then thirdly, the point about how we get our money and we spend it so quickly, and he went into why we do that, and that really struck me, because you never really think about what are the historical reasons why we have the relationship towards money and economics as we do. So that really stood out to me in addition to the rest of the speech.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. Sister Andrea?
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. What stuck out at you? Give me one talking point that really got with you.
Everything.
By saying assalamu alaikum to everyone and
really
happy Savior's Day as well.
Did you eat all the salad?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry.
That's
I'm
okay.
In agreement with what Sister A.T. pointed out in terms of our spending habits. One thing that is invaluable for us in this day and time that we're living in is that the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, he, in addition to pointing out or helping us to recognize areas that we may not fully be aware of, he gives us the full scope of the impact in every tense, if you will, meaning past, present, future, future perfect. So it's, you know, it's one thing to say, okay, this is the problem, but it's another thing to go into the pathology of the root cause of the problem and the systemic effects throughout the cycle of that problem propagating itself. So in order to properly address the issue that we're suffering from, you know, economics is indicative of a spiritual condition that's present as well as a mental condition. And then you get to the financial and the economic. So in order to properly do justice to the subject matter and us being a generation of former slaves, children of former slaves, if one is not willing to bring all of that into the open, you really cannot even begin to be considered as a genuine broker to the solution of such a problem. And that's the value of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And for us and our generation, we can't continue, and we don't have the time for this cycle to keep repeating itself. There's so much at stake, and the hour is so critical on us that if it is not broken now, then what we stand to lose will be greater than what every generation prior to us has lost or, you know, been held back on.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Beautiful. Sister Gidget Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. What stuck out at you, ma'am? What really struck you as a talking point that you want to present to the listening audience tonight?
Wow. I guess if I had to pick one, it would be moral commitment. The way he addressed the moral commitment that we all must have in order to even make the economic blueprint even work for us, there has to be a willingness there, and there has to be a change there. The minister made reference to Proverbs 29 and 18, and he made reference to, in the Holy Quran, Surah 13 and 11. So surely that, you know, our condition will not change until we change our own condition. So there's a lot of things that we have to do personally to, you know, even pool our humanity resources, us as human beings, us as brothers and sisters. We have to put personal differences aside and work towards the common good for all. And, of course, the second thing that really struck me was his talk on the Second Amendment and how he asked the soldiers to come home and how he asked the gangbangers to come home and take their rightful places being warriors and to protect what is our own. So those things were very profound to me.
Okay. Sister A.T., I want to ask, let me ask, is Sister Charlene Muhammad on the line yet? Okay. Sister A.T., let me ask you a question. What do you say to people when it comes to America who say, we love it here. We love America, good or bad, and we want to stay here in America because this is ours. And we fought for this, bled and died for this, and this is what we want to stay. And we don't want to go anywhere else. What say you to people like that who are listening on the line tonight?
Well, you have that right. Number one, and number two, you know, I've heard the minister say many times, and as well as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that there is no land that's almost comparable to the United States and in terms of land, the exploitation of the land. This is still really considered like virgin territory in terms of what we have here. And, you know, I have to agree with what I've heard the minister say, that this is the earth. First of all, the earth belongs to the original. And we have fought, led and died here. So we have a right to this country, and we have a right to be here, and we have a right to build here. And the most important thing that we have to do is unify and pool our resources, particularly economically, so that we can righteously exploit the land that we live in, and so that we can build for ourselves. So, if a brother or sister want to leave this country, I mean, that's your right. But we, at the same time, have a right to be here. We have a right to build here. And indeed, right where we are today, right now, at this very point in time, we can't tell everybody, you know, you need to leave America. No, what we need to do is pool our resources and build our communities right where we are. So that's my short answer to that.
Yes, ma'am.
Did I miss
okay.
it? Sorry if I missed any part of the question.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Sister Charlene, are you in queue, ma'am?
Hear me?
Sister Charlene? Oh, there you go. Assalamu alaikum, ma'am.
Well, Lakers, so actually I've been I've heard you for the last 10 minutes. I had to call you from another phone, but I guess I was not in queue.
Okay. Well, I'm so glad you were able to make it tonight, sister. Give us a talking point that stuck out at you for Savior's Day with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Oh, my God. First of all, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
I would have to say the point about land and how we will never be valued as a people unless we have land. I jotted down some notes that the minister said during the speech, and these are some of the points that stuck out in my mind. And you have to excuse me, I'm catching a cold, so I'm a little hoarse.
Yes, ma'am,
I believe it was one of the sisters that said that Allah will not change a condition of a people until they change it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that means that there is no mystery God. So if we want to change our condition economically, we first have to take the first step with ourselves. And I believe that is what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was speaking about. Now, some of the points that really stuck out in my mind were the statistics that the minister gave. He talked about how we spend, our spending habits. And we're on the phone right now, and we spend astronomically $19 billion on phone service. I thought that was just amazing.
Wow, yeah, that's correct.
He also said that we spend $3.3 billion in tobacco, another $3 billion on alcohol. I was just blown away by some of those statistics that he gave. That was just a minuscule amount that I just mentioned. But, you know, those types of things we have to get under control if we're ever going to be self-sufficient.
Right.
He also talked about a jobs bill, you know, that if the president produces a jobs bill, it will only produce 3 million jobs, but there are still 15 million people unemployed, that are unemployed on paper. We don't know how many unemployed that have just stopped trying. So, you know, I mean, everything was just very profound, and I liked what
right.
you said prior to me coming on. She talked about the pathology and the systemic effects of slavery, you know, and all of this carries on to today, and this is why we're in the condition that we're in. And I just want to say this, you know, before I go off, I had an opportunity to visit the farm in Michigan in September, and I was shown the process of creating soil, and if we get our own land, we can create a soil that is 98% toxic free. So imagine that. The foods that we eat are 20% toxic free and 80% filled with toxins. And this is why we suffer from all of the diseases that we suffer from. But if we got land and we started growing our food, cultivating our own food, we would be almost disease free.
Right,
and that is what really, to me, is very valuable, you know, in us getting land, not only to be able to get land, but to be able to sustain ourselves. I mean, it's just phenomenal. My mind is just racing on the whole speech, so I don't want to go on and on. I'd like to listen to some of the others.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much, and you're absolutely right about the chemicals. That's a real big deal. I was trying to reach Sister Dr. Hanifa, who was talking about the pesticides and how it affects our bodies, the joints and everything. And I would like to get her on the show one of these days. Sister Andrea, what say you, man? What else stuck out at you from the Savior's Day message of our leader, teacher, and guide?
I really am appreciating the dialogue that we're having and what the sisters are offering, because it's a discussion that I think the tone has been set for us to have now. And
that's correct.
Able to be afforded a platform to bring the discussion out is
right.
so valuable. And my sister Charlene, in discussing the land, see, there's a component to what the Honorable Louis Farrakhan is teaching. And the key is being in accordance with the time, being in season. And when you're out of season, you can have a right, a proper, a good idea, but if it's not the right season for that idea or for that reality to come into existence, then there's a factor of jeopardy. And I remember it being said to us, if one is not in the right season, if the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his enemies knew he was a man who was born in the right season. Had he been born a decade earlier, he would have more than likely been killed on spot. But because he was born in the proper season, in the proper time, then the circumstances that would support and protect him to carry out what must be done, those were all in alignment with him and for him. So when we look at his student, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, and he is taking this very consequential year, 2013 is very significant, and
right.
this the 13th year in the new millennium. And we do know that this country, when it came to birth, it had 13 colonies. And we do
mm-hmm.
know that we were given in our own instructions from our founder, Master Farad Muhammad, our Savior, we were given a paragraph 13. And in that paragraph 13, we were given instructions on how we are to be successful utilizing the language. So when you look at what the Honorable Louis Farrakhan is saying, the time and what must be done, it, either he is or he is not in the proper season. If he is not in the proper season, then the danger or the jeopardy that he faces would be that of someone not acting in accordance with time. So he's in jeopardy. Or he's in the proper season, and there is a danger factor attached, but there's a greater force to support him against those forces that would not have him to do what he's doing today. So we have to know, when we're talking about land, and land that is justly due to our people for the suffering that we have encountered and for the contribution that we have given to this country, there's a danger factor in even asking for that when this country is in a perilous state herself. Mm-hmm. So where is the justification? Where is the protection? Where do we, as followers and helpers of his, help our people to understand that this is a man, and perhaps I would boldly say the only man, who's speaking in accords with the season? So we can go into the scriptures now, because he is talking economics, but he's talking economics from a vantage point of justice. He's talking of economics on a level where God himself would have to come, because the economics of the old world is crumbling before our very eyes. We couldn't, even if we did, we could, there's very little we can do to save this economic system. So what have we to look for? And this man that we see that is saying to us, now is the time for us to make this move. We need land. The scripture supports what the Honorable Louis Farrakhan is saying. The scripture said that there was one stone that the builders rejected that became the cornerstone. And that cornerstone was the foundation that was used to build a whole new house. So here we are actually walking through the scriptures. And it, people would, it would be easy to say that he's a political speaker. It would be easy to say that the economic blueprint of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is based on a nationalist platform. If we could put them in those type of categories, then it would be easy to just go on about our way.
Yes.
But it's so much more significant. What we're saying is these men represent the will of God. These men have the backing of God. Therefore, there is an obligation to all, not just those of us who follow and accept them as our leaders, but there is an obligation to all to either accept or reject what these men are representing to us, because what they represent come from the Supreme Being. So now we go back to what Sister Charlene is saying. In his effort to secure land, it is to heal a people. It is to bring life back to a people who are literally dying. The land itself has to be healed. It cannot be done through the old way of doing things.
Right.
So we it's unique. This time will never be again. We are very blessed. We are a generation that will go down in history as the generation that was present when it was broken. And when the cornerstone was laid in place, when I say broken, the old way, the promise of God that he would do away. But it's a very dangerous time, and we have to help as many people who will listen. We have to help them to understand that the message of the Honorable Louis Farrakhan is not a message that you can be neutral with. Just because you're not a member of the Nation of Islam or a follower in the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, this message is of consequence to us all, and it is a message that we all have to make a decision on, and it is about the time. The time
respects
none of us, but the time affects all of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're out on the front line with the fruit of Islam tonight. Tonight, the MGT, speak out. Sister Charlene Muhammad, Sister A.T. Hamid, Sister Andrea Muhammad, and Sister Gidget Muhammad are all in queue tonight. If you have any questions, just raise your hand, press 1, and we'll get you in. Sister Gidget, please give us another talking point, beloved.
Wow, I think they covered it.
Oh, they covered it. Yes, ma'am, but they left you
some. Things down.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to get back to moral commitment because, you know, that is so deep and it's so prevalent, you know, because we have to have a foundation in which to bring in a new world. And we have to really make the commitment to even bring the economic program forward. And that's why I kind of combine with pooling our resources. Yes, we need to pool our resources, our nickels, our dimes, our dollars, our pennies, or whatever. But we have to pool our humanity together. That is the most important thing. Because if we don't get in the mindset and have the like mind to make a moral commitment to building a new world, we're not going to be successful as a people. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has explained to us and has given us a breakdown of how the American dollar is backed by nothing. And if the American dollar today is backed by nothing, then how are we in a new world going to survive? So we have to have a new way of thinking and a new way of doing business with one another. And that's why the purchasing of land is so very important. We have to create a territory and a new world and a new way of living and a new way of thinking. But none of this is possible until we turn our hearts and our minds back to Allah. Because I think he mentioned it. He said, those who are called by my name, you know, you have to seek his face. We have to do that. And so
right.
That's the that I, if I can, you know, with everything that I try to do in media, that's the point that we really, really need to drive home on behalf of our beloved minister who has given us so much and who has been such a wonderful and gracious reminder to us, because the time that and what must be done is, you know, before the minister can even get off of his broadcast on Saturday, some of the calamities and some of the things that he says that are going to happen in the world, they happen right then. So that's even further evidence that the grace period is over. And I want people, if they, you know, everybody within the sound of my voice, to really, really take the Savior's Day message to heart. Take it seriously, people, because we are literally out of time, and it's by Allah's grace and mercy and love for us and by the prayers of our divine leader now that is keeping us afloat. So we have to get to that moral commitment, and I just wanted to drive that point home with your heart.
Praise be to Allah. Sister Charlene?
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you this question. The self-hatred. We talk about building and investing in our own, but we have a problem in our community of self-hatred. How do we get beyond that point that we can even begin to trust one another, to even invest in one another?
That is an excellent question. The self-hatred goes back to Willie Lynch, you know, where we were divided. You had the light against the dark, tall against the short, you know, the field Negro, the house Negro, you know, all of that brings self-hatred, and it also builds envy. And I think that, as Sister said, I don't know, I think it was Gidget, Sister Gidget Aziza, she said that we have to
be morally correct as we begin this process to purchase land.
Mm-hmm.
Morally doesn't always mean, you know, of course it follows the restrictive law, but I heard the minister on Friday say at St. Sabina Church this quality of envy that destroys from within. And he said something that to me was so profound. He said that envy is worse than death. You know, when you die and the worms rot, when the worms eat your flesh, he said envy is worse than that. And I think that we as a people are as a whole, I won't say individually, but as a whole, that is what keeps us back from progressing spiritually, economically, mentally, morally. And until we address this, which goes back to self-hatred, we have to know that we are God. You know, we are made in the likeness and image of God, but we really don't believe that. So until we believe that, then we won't be fully healed. And I really liked what the sister said in terms of you know, being morally qualified to do this. And she quoted, if my people that are called by my name would humble themselves.
Yes.
And would humble themselves and seek my face. See, we seek everybody else's face but Allah's face.
Mm.
When we do that, then we will hear from heaven and he will heal thy land. And I also liked, prior to Sister Gidget, I don't recall her name,
Andrea.
She said the land itself has to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like for her to, you know, just further expound on that, because the land that we purchase, that has to be healed because it's toxic. Everything
That's right.
in this country has been made toxic. So we now have a procedure that can reverse the toxicity once
That's
we
right.
buy the land. So I would just like to hear from her as to what she meant by that. I was very interested in that.
Sister Andrea, can you expound on that a little bit further?
Yes, sir. I know one of our sisters was discussing, I believe it was Sister Charlene, where we have 20% value in the food, 80% toxins, and that's the result of the poor condition of the soil. And that is the direct result of the dangers in the processing and the chemicals that go into our food supply that are not even warranted. Back in 2007, when the Honorable Louis Farrakhan began the teaching of justifiable homicide, that lecture series, he was warning about our youth in peril. And in that lecture, he also revealed that there are actually, specifically centered around the inner cities where you have large populations of our people, where the government itself has used the land to store depleted uranium. And many companies use the land to store chemicals that won't break down, to have a shelf life for billions of years. And as a result of, case in point, the depleted uranium, the land has been poisoned. And now we're seeing increases in diabetes, cancers, and other conditions, whereas if you were to go back a generation, it was not prevalent amongst our population. So the land has been, in all parts, for the most, in my opinion, it has been destroyed. And the Honorable Louis Farrakhan recognized the brother, I believe his name is Will Allen.
Yes.
Whom Sister Charlene was referring to, who,
mm-hmm.
with the help of Allah, he's a gifted treasure for us to
yes.
help us to understand the process that we have to, see, to get the land is one thing. I would say it's like getting married. It's one thing to get the perfect guy or the perfect brother on the outside, but there's work that has to be done to mm-hmm. get the real treasure. The real treasure is not readily available. It takes some cultivation on both our parts, male and female. So it appears to be the same with the land. It would be one thing to secure the land, but we would be delusional to think that once we get the land, we can immediately start healing and growing our own food and everything will be all right. It's a process. And in that process, we'll find how we can make the new life force that's needed to help us to heal. Now, I like to always support our discussions with what we're doing with scripture to back up what it is that we in the Nation of Islam say we are a part of and what we're doing, because that supports and it gives us the proof to show that we're acting in accordance with the time. Mm-hmm. And so there is in the Bible, there's a warning right before the great and dreadful time of the judgment. It's in Revelation where there's an angel that in the book of Revelation, there were four angels, and they each had a specific power relative to the destruction of this world. And one angel had the ability to hurt the land. And those four angels were told to hold and not hurt the earth, the land, or the sea until a specific time, until a trumpet was blown. But when that trumpet was blown, then they were to carry out the forces that they were appointed to do. So it's actually in the scriptures where we see that the land will be hurt or the land will become damaged. But in the same breath, it will be made new again. And who mm-hmm. and how it will be made new is, again, that is our charge as in the Nation of Islam, to help all who will listen to know right. and to see that man, that one is present, and the teaching is amongst us to save our people and to save an entire generation from the perils that we're in today.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Sister A.T.?
Yes.
Ma'am, I got to ask you a question this way.
Education. And I had a comment, too.
I tell you what. I yield the time. I yield my balance, ma'am. You go right ahead.
I wanted to know what you were going to say about education. I think you're going to tie right in.
Well, I don't know, because the education is very, very important right now. With everything that we're doing, learning about the land, that's education. Everything that we're talking about is education. And I was going to go to a point that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad had brought out about education when he said, here, we want equal education, but separate schools up to 16 for boys and 18 for girls on the condition that the girls be sent to women's colleges and universities. What is it about separating the two to give them education that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is seeking at this particular point?
Well, you know what? Having attended a University of Islam and also beyond that, I've read a lot of studies about separate schools for girls and boys, and it's universally accepted that girls do better in separate schools, because you have a lot of teachers who hold biases against girls and choosing girls, for example, when their hands are raised in the classroom. So studies have shown that girls fare better when the classrooms are separate.
Then
just on that whole point of education, if I could make a point on
Yes, ma'am,
that,
please.
Just in terms of economics, you know, when you think about those points, working as a collective, that is one that really stands out as well for me, because, you know, I thought about some of the statistics that the minister talked about, and I believe it was in New York that, or maybe it was a city in New York, that over 50% of black men were unemployed, and I don't know if that still stands today, but the thing that struck me about that was that we don't have a choice but to do for self. But the thing about it that we have to keep in mind is that everybody's not cut out to be an entrepreneur. But
that's
I
right.
do believe that we have enough of us who want to be entrepreneurs, who want to start something, and thereby employ some of us who are not employed, but who can, you know, just don't have that business sense to want to run a business. But at the same time, I wanted to just drop this out there, just in terms of something practical that goes right along with working as a collective. We have enough professional among our people right now where we can hold training classes. I mean, not training, job training, but entrepreneur training, where we can actually get, pull together all of our people who would like to, you know, start their own businesses, and bring those the professional among our people to teach and to train on the business of starting a business. And that's, I really feel, I've been really, you know, thinking about that very strongly, just in terms of something that we can do and something that we don't have a choice, but we have to do it. We can simply look at what are some of the needs that need to be fulfilled right where I live, and what kind of business would support, or what kind of business can we start that would support filling that need, and then look at what type of people do I need to employ? How do I start a business around that particular need? Or, you know, so I believe that we can't afford to sit and wait for, you know, government regulation, whatever, to create jobs for us. I think it's something that we don't have a choice but to do on our own. But I believe that the training and education have to come along with that, because it involves training and educating people to be entrepreneurs, because we can't afford to do fly-by-night things, you know, where we just have a feeling that, oh, I want to start my own business, but we don't have the tools or the knowledge or the education or the training or the skills to go along with it. We have to be trained and taught and educated in terms of how to do it. And then on the other hand, those of us whom we seek to employ have to also be taught, trained, educated to be able to fill those jobs. So
okay.
I believe that we have the skills, the know-how, the knowledge in our community to
Absolutely.
Do it. We just have to organize ourselves around actually getting it done and pooling our resources, working as a collective, and making sure that we start today and not tomorrow, because we don't have, we can't afford to wait. We just
That's
can't.
Right.
Can I say something?
Who's that? Sister Charlene? Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead, ma'am.
I agree with Sister AT, but I also, in terms of we have to train people how to start business. But I want to say something about my Mexican brothers and sisters that have not been in the country long, that don't know the language. I don't know how it is in any other city, but in Chicago, you have a place called Little Village. And most of the people over there do not, a lot of them don't speak English. And the person that mows my lawn during the summer, he, on Saturday and Sunday, he makes $900 to $1,000 a day. If he works 5 days a week, and he doesn't speak hardly any English, and I speak Spanish. So, you know, there are, that's a need that can easily be done. The
right.
problem with us is that, you know, well, who's going to buy, you know, it just involves thinking. This brother bought a lawnmower, he got a beat-up truck, got his son to help him, and he built a clientele. And the thing
right.
with business is that any entrepreneur, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a real estate agent, you have to be, you can't give up. You just have to. You have to have a plan, like Sister AT said, but you have to. You just have to step out on faith as well. And this brother, I'm telling you, he pulled $1,000 out of his pocket and showed me that this is what he makes in one day on a Saturday. And this is if we just had this type of mentality. You know, it's snowing in Chicago right now. What if a young group of black men got together and bought a snowmobile? I mean, a snowplow. And plowed all of the you know, they make $50 if they get, you know, if they get 100, multiply 100 times 50. That can sustain you. So it's not that difficult to start a business. Trust me.
Right.
You just have
right.
to have the wherewithal and the tenacity to stay in business. That's what I wanted to add. But she is
Beautiful.
Correct. We do have to be trained, you know, to train entrepreneurs.
Right, right.
Great entrepreneurs. I just wanted to you know, bounce that off.
Beautiful. That's a good point. That's a good point. And as we get ready to wrap up this segment, Sister Gidget, is there anything else you want to add, a talking point before we get ready to close out?
Well, in terms of education, since my dear sisters were speaking on that, you know, I oftentimes say that, you know, we have to step beyond our higher institutions of learning. We have everything that we need in our nation to be a nation. But, you know, what the enemy is going after now is our seed. And how do you eradicate a race? How do you eradicate a nation? You kill the seed. And so in terms of education, we have to invest time and study with our children to think beyond what these institutions of learning are teaching them. We have to get out of the mold of thinking that the education that they will get from an Ivy League school is going to be sufficient enough for them, because we still have to teach them who they are. We still have to teach them that they are gods. We still have to teach them that they come from greatness. And we have to motivate our children in the path of being entrepreneurs and being God. God was what? Allah is a creator. So that's how we have to train our children. We can't just afford any longer to let them go to school and get PhDs and master's degrees in order to go and work on the plantation. Our children are gods. And if we want to talk about the hereafter, we're going to have to start prepping our children in order to be able to run that new world. And we have to start now. So in terms of education, I just want to make that point.
Beautiful. Well, sisters, I'm glad you all came out tonight. And I know the first segment, you know, you all could have taken the show. But I know Sister Charlene, you know, wanted to come in and say a few words, and she didn't want to stay too long tonight. But we got her to stay the whole segment, so praise be to Allah. I want to close on this point. I want to take this opportunity as we wrap up. I have a question here that was brought to me to ask you all. There are sisters on the line that are not Muslims. There are sisters on the line who are thinking about following the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Could you explain to them what is an MGT, and how does one qualify to become an MGT? let me start with Sister Charlene and work my way around the panel, real quick.
Oh, boy. Well, let me first say this. An MGT is a Muslim girl in training, you know, and general civilization class. This is where we learn how to become Muslim women. Now, we're forever learning. I mean, it's a process. So if you're thinking about coming in or joining, you know, this would be the first step to come into the processing class. We learn how to cook, how to sew, how to act at home and abroad, and in general civilization. And we even learn how to take care of our husbands. Something that is a lost art. So with that, I'll pass on to the next.
All right. Sister AT, you got 2 minutes, ma'am. What say you?
Okay, the first thing that I would say, pretty much what the last sister said, it's a process. And Muslim girls in training, I'm still in training. I believe I'll be in training to the day I die.
Right.
And the term girl, we have to keep in mind, is that we are girls in the wisdom of Allah, a God. And so that's a mindset that all of us should take on in terms of coming into the class or coming into your own. Second thing I would do is just encourage a sister to study herself, study her strengths, study her weaknesses, in terms of wanting to come into the nation. Because what you want to do is to be able to build on the best of who you are and the strength of who you are. And the third thing is, most importantly, don't be a blind follower. Question, 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 and study these teachings so that you know exactly what you're getting into, so that you're not a blind follower, that you are using critical thinking when you want to study and delve into these teachings.
Beautiful. Thank you, Sister A.T., and thank you for coming out tonight. Sister Andrea, what say you, ma'am? You got 2 minutes.
Yes, sir. I just co-sign with what my previous two sisters said. For any sister interested in the NGT and GCC, it is true. We are Muslim girls in training, and general, that is general civilization class. This class was set up by the founder of the Nation of Islam, our leader and founder, Master Farhat Muhammad. It is a special training, and it is a training that will take and make you unlike any woman on the planet, because he did not come to make us women of the world. He came and he laid a foundation for us to become the women of God. And in order to become the women of God, you have to be removed from the environment that has taken the woman and made her contrary to what God can even use. So this class is a standing invitation to all of our women. We do not perceive ourselves to be better than, or we do not look down at our sisters. And do not ever feel that wherever you are in life that you're not good enough to come into the fold of the MGT. There's no such thing as a bad woman. And when you understand that, you just have to trust and know that there's a sisterhood waiting for you. And the fulfillment that you get in those 7 units of training, you will find that that actually fills the void that we have as women in this world that we're living. We're a dissatisfied woman because we're unfulfilled. And if you look carefully in your processing at the units of training that were given to us, those units fill in the gap and give us the fulfillment that we rightfully desire to become and what this world could ever do. You know, we could talk all day about what Islam has done for us as women in Islam, but I don't think you have that time for us. But
yes,
we
ma'am.
Invite
yes, ma'am.
Whatever needs to be said or done for what city that a sister is in, if she's in any of the cities that we're in, if you could pass our information to the sisters, we'd be more than willing to make them and bring them in as our guests so that they can become acquainted with their sisters.
Well, thank you, Sister Andrea, and we would definitely like to have you all back. And a lot of sisters have asked me when we're going to have the MGT on as a panel, and you are all the first panel that we've had on the show since we've been a show since 9/11. Sister Gidget Aziza Maryam Muhammad, you are picking up the rear, beloved. What say you?
Well, what I would say to any of my sisters, that the greatest reward of being an MGT is knowing God's love and knowing who we are and reverting back to the nature in which Allah created us and recognizing our own greatness, recognizing the value of ourselves, knowing what our virtue is and what it means. And sisters, if you want a good husband, then the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad will make you that particular woman for that particular man. And if you ever wonder what true love is the love that your brother, an FOI, will show you in his commitment of marriage, because that training that he receives complements you as a woman. And so I would say to all of my sisters that MGT, GCC training makes you whole and makes you know Allah's love for you.
Beautiful. Thank you, sisters, for coming out tonight. Sister Charlene Muhammad, thank you so much, beloved. You're a very busy sister, and I know that. And I want to thank you, and I hope that we can get you to come back again, because really this is just the beginning of something new. And Sister A.T., please come back again. Thank you so much for coming out.
Thank
Sister Andrea. Really, Sister Andrea came at the last moment. You know, her boots was on the ground. She didn't waste no time. She said, you need me, I'm there. And I thank you so much, Sister Andrea, for coming out tonight. And, of course, Sister Gidget, you know, she runs the network, Brothers and Sisters on the Line. So all these shows that you see here, she is the one that programs and makes everything happen. So I want to thank you, Sister Gidget, for being here tonight. She works 24 hours a day, really 25 hours a day. And she's here tonight. She's tired, but she came on anyway and made the sacrifice. Thank you, beloved, for coming out tonight. Thank you, sisters, for coming out.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Dodd.
Yes, ma'am. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum.
Well, that was our MGT, the Muslim Girls in Training of the Nation of Islam, followers of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, of the Eternal Leader, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I don't know about you, but I've been inspired. Now we want to move on to our Boots on the Ground report tonight. We have with us our brother, student minister out of Atlanta, Georgia, Muhammad's Master of 15, helping to assist our Southern Regional Representative, student minister Abdul Sharif Muhammad. His brother Marcus Muhammad, he's got a Boots on the Ground report that you want to hear about. Brother Marcus, are you there?
Yes, sir. Salam alaikum to you and your wonderful panel who we just heard from.
Wa alaikum salam, brother. Weren't they beautiful, brother?
Yes, sir, brother. That is what we want to hear, women who can speak with that high level of intelligence and civilization, such as the sisters you just had on your panel. All praises
due to Allah. Yes, sir. What you got for us tonight, soldier? Talk to us.
Well, just very briefly, we wanted to announce to every one of your listeners that we have finalized our plans for the 4th annual marriage retreat. And this year, with the help of Allah, we are all headed to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee for that 4th annual marriage retreat. And we are expecting a magnificent turnout and a wonderful time to be had by married couples who really want to work on their marriages and survive 2013. And the only way that we know to do that is to make and create a beautiful environment such as the mountains of Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, where the couples will be united with other married couples who are coming from all over America. And we're going to work on our skill bank.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's a powerful thing to be married but be devoid of skills. And husbands and wives need to have real conversations with each other. In fact, our minister, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, said that the marriage would not be real until the two people in the marriage got real with each other. And so that's what this allows us to do. You know, Brother Jihad, when was the last time you and your wife had an opportunity to travel, but the sole purpose of the travel was to work on your marriage, to work on where you and your wife were headed, where you were going, and what you wanted the next year to look like. This
right.
is what the marriage retreat is all about. It's about a beautiful environment with Muslim cooking and being in your own private love nest. To work on your marriage, to work on some of the tensions that have arisen between you and your spouse, to work on some strategy for how we're going to deal with the next phase of our lives. Because, you know, marriages come and go in phases.
That's
and,
right.
you know, we all are in different phases of our lives. Me and my wife, we've been together by Allah's grace for the last 20 years. We are now transitioning into the next phase of our lives. The children are leaving. And believe it or not, now we're into another phase. They call that the empty nest syndrome. And that's a real part of marriage. Some couples don't survive that stage of marriage. You know,
right.
I'm in my 40s now. My wife is in her 40s now. You know, they say men typically go through what they call a midlife crisis. when they start turning 40 and 50 years old. So these are things that we have to discuss and discuss it in a very non-threatening, non-competitive atmosphere where you and your spouse get to turn to each other and apologize for what you've done and what you've said. And it takes real men and real women to be able to hear from their spouse how they've hurt them this year. We're going to talk about the good, but we're going to also have to talk about some of that bad, and we also going to have to talk about some of that ugly. And the beautiful part about the marriage retreat, Brother Jihad, is that your business is not exposed to everybody. It's you and your wife working privately at one of the tables as we guide you through the conversation that you should have. This year we expect to have Brother Abdul Sharif Muhammad and his beautiful wife to join us on Saturday for the marriage retreat. And they're going to talk about something that we very rarely hear about, which is the sexual side of marriage. And they're going to talk about this intimacy and really delve into some of the issues that couples go through but nobody ever talks about. Well, we have a private, intimate setting out there in the woods in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and we're going to get into it in the nitty-gritty.
Wow. Praise be to Allah. Well, brother, thank you for coming on. And we've got to do this again so that we can really get into a real show and really talk about this thing. Because like you and I have talked about earlier about the seriousness of divorce that's taking place in America, period.
Yeah.
And so we need to get together. And you and I get together off air and we'll work on that.
Well, I want to say that the date for the marriage retreat is September the 12th this year until September the 16th. And you know, a lot of your listeners listen in to the show, and we hear the Honorable Louis Farrakhan telling us that the number one threat to the Nation of Islam is divorce. And many of us hear him saying that, and we should avail ourselves of the only event that we know of in the nation that actually is trying to help you and your spouse to stay together, which is the 4th Annual Marriage Retreat. And you can visit us on our website. The website is www.blackmarriageretreat.org. I'm going to say that again. That's www.blackmarriageretreat.org. And you can find us on Facebook at the 4th Annual Marriage Retreat. That's the 4th Annual Marriage Retreat. You can like us on Facebook. And the website at www.blackmarriageretreat.org will tell you everything that you need to know. We got it, a $50 couples registration. And then it's just $520 for all 4 days that you will be with us. That includes your lodging. That's all of your meals. The only thing we can't cover, of course, is transportation to and from the event and your gas, of course. But your lodging, the beautiful rooms you will be in, as well as the delicious Muslim cuisine, you're going to feel so wonderful when you get there and you see that you're not the only one going through some marital difficulties. And for those who feel like they don't have any issues at all, and we have a lot of people who have that disposition, me and my husband are fine, me and my wife are fine, we don't need any help, then you should come just to assist those couples who are having some problems, and maybe your strategies are so good and so wonderful that maybe they could be utilized by the group collectively so that we all can be where you are. This is about Muslim brothers and sisters, Christian brothers and sisters helping each other. Each one teach one. There's no big eyes, no little U's that's going to be present here at this conference, this retreat, as we've never had that in 3 years we've been organizing it and facilitating it. It's about you and your wife, you and your husband trying to work on your future as a married couple. And so that's what this is about, beloved.
Beautiful. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Brother.
And we'll have
you.
May Allah bless you too. We'll have you right back here again, sir. No doubt.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. That was our brother, student minister Marcus Muhammad, out of Muhammad's Miles number 15, Atlanta, Georgia, with another retreat, marriage retreat. And his last one, they tell me, was out of sight. Let's see who's on the line as we get ready to go into segment two, the final segment of the night at our Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks. We have with us tonight Brother Abel Muhammad, from Student Minister Abel Muhammad from Muhammad's, from Mosque Maryam in Chicago. Brother Abel, are you on the line?
Yes, sir, dear brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, beloved. How are you?
Feeling well, dear brother. Happy to be on with you again.
Beautiful, beautiful. It is our brother, student assistant minister, Tony Muhammad from Muhammad's Miles 29, Miami, Florida, on the line yet?
Brother Tony is on. Can you hear me?
There he is. Salam alaikum. Well, alaikum salam. How are you, sir?
Oh, all praises due to Allah. I'm doing good.
Brother, I can hear the spirit already. We haven't even gotten started yet. Is Brother Attorney Kenneth Muhammad from Muhammad's Mars 15 on the line?
Assalamu alaikum. Yes, sir. I am here.
Wa alaikum salam. Brothers, y'all going to start an earthquake tonight. I can feel it already. Let me go ahead and say to you all tonight, I'm so honored that you all came on tonight. Happy Savior's Day to you all. And let me go ahead and start it out this way. Brother Abel, talk to us, sir. What stuck out at you on the time and what must be done, part 7 and part 8?
You know, dear brother, part 8 in particular, it seems like each week the intensity has just been increasing in the minister's delivery. And I'm sitting here in Chicago in what I don't know what the final figures are, but it appears to be a foot of snow that fell as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan left Chicago today to go to Belize. And, of course, I'm remembering the way that the minister closed the program of Part 8, telling us to watch the weather and watch the forces of nature being used in ever-increasing calamitous volume against America. And we see the sinkholes in Florida. We have snowstorms across the Midwest, and, you know, it's not by accident that this is happening. But the thing on top of that, as he's been a constant warner, that really, really stuck out to me was the minister's comments regarding justice being the weapon that God would use in the day or the time of judgment. And what we're looking at today, whether it be us looking at the economy, the social illnesses, the educational system, everywhere we look, we see that this whole system and world is coming down, and God is using that principle. And the way that the minister described to us what justice is and what the law of judgment was absolutely phenomenal. He defined it as, from the scripture, as a man soweth, the same shall he also reap. As thou hast done, it is written, so shall it be done unto you. And the reaping is not just according to what you sow, for if you sow one grain of corn, you could get back not just the one grain that you sowed, but you could get back a stalk. And the stalk have rows and hundreds of corn, while you just sowed one. And it will be in such manner that the mischief maker will be paid back for what he has sown. And I thought the intensity of it for us, or for me personally, brother, was that we must get up and do something for ourselves and our people like never before, right in line and in tune with the economic blueprint that he gave us the weekend that part 7 was the labored of Savior's Day. But we really are in a dark, dark hour, and you could feel it was tangible, the intensity of the minister's delivery. Each weekend has increased, and it's not by accident that what we see happening, the calamities, the stresses, the difficulties, and the fall of this system is also intensifying as God's servant is sounding a warning and an alarm for all of us that we must heed in this hour.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Brother Tony Muhammad, sir, what say you?
Man, there's so much that is
in
every lecture series, and I agree with Brother Abel, it seems to be getting more and more intense with every message that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan blesses us with. I would say Allah blesses us through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. What sticks out to me, there's so much that sticks out to me in part 7 and part 8. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan talks about from the Holy Quran in part 8 about a ruler being put on the earth. Well, there's a ruler that has been put on our minds. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan discusses in part 7 some things about his own life, reflections on his own life, where he was when he first accepted the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and when he heard the Honorable when he heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for the first time, when he went to Temple Number 7 and heard Minister Malcolm X and making the active decision to clean up his own life. Well, this should be a reflection for us, members of the Nation of Islam, to reflect where we were when we first accepted the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and where we are in our lives today, as we should be ever focused on cleaning up our own lives, because we're not, truly not all of us are clean. We should continue to seek to refine our lives as much possible and increase our purification right now, increase our prayers, increase our devotion to the way of life that we have accepted, just constantly reflecting on the type of sacrifice
yes.
that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has given to this work. He himself saying that he would take these teachings to every nook and cranny of America. Really, he's taking it to every nook and cranny of the planet Earth through
mm-hmm.
these broadcasts. And so it should be a reflection for us to step up our efforts in every endeavor and seek how we can become increasingly active to reach out our people wherever they are.
That's right. Beautiful, beautiful. Brother Ken, sir?
Yes, sir.
What say you, beloved? What stuck out at you on the time and what must be done by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, sir?
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you first for having me on, brother. It's a blessing to be able to speak to the brothers and for any of those that are listening. Well, as the brothers have stated, there's obviously so much, but for anyone in any religion, going to any church, synagogue, mosque, or what have you, people have been talking about judgment for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And at a certain point, what everyone is talking about is going to take place in one form or another, or else what everyone has been, you know, preaching about, praying for all of this time, for all of these thousands of years now, hundreds of years now, really was for nothing. The minister, when he spoke with passion, as the brother stated, and made the comparison with Noah and said that they had been mocking Noah, he preached for 150 years saying that there was going to be a flood. And people mocked him, and he said, similarly, he has been taking for years mockery and scorn and dealing with it. The message that he is giving right now is clearly what we've been preaching about, what we've been talking about, what all the words have been about, it's happening right now. It is happening
mm-hmm.
right now. Now, so this really is a change not only in the minister's tone, it's a change in time period where essentially the test is here. either people believe or they don't believe. Either people are going to, are participating in faith, going to meetings, listening to lectures, all of that because there is a fundamental belief about the presence of God and what he wants, or people are just wasting time. We're at the point now, the minister is saying, clearly by the level of intensity and the way that he's saying it, we're at the point that the people that had been listening to Noah preach for 150 years were at, just as the storm clouds were coming over their heads. That's what the minister is saying. He's saying, you've been listening to this, you've been going to meetings, you've been participating in things, you've been reading books, you have books on your bookshelf. All of that is good. But all of that should have led you up to something. And you are in a category right now. You either believe it to the point where it's going to cause a very specific kind of change in the way that you operate your life and your daily activity, or it's not. And he spoke a few lectures ago about the separation. And he spent a good deal of time on it, about the time of separation and those that believe being separated from those that don't. And so I really think that this, whether a person has heard the minister before or this was their first time hearing them, they were hearing someone saying, all of the stuff that you have said that you believe was going to happen, all of the stuff that you said you wanted to do with your life because of the presence of God and what God teaches and all of that, it's put up or shut up time. You either do
That's
it
right.
now or all of that was a waste.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Brother Abel, sir?
Yes, sir.
What else stuck out at you?
Well, you know, brother, outside of it and everything that our brother attorney just mentioned is so beautifully stated, that really is the driving force, that it isn't these aren't prophetic sort of sayings that we're hearing.
That's
we're
right.
We're now walking right in, I mean, not hours even, after we hear them, we walk into circumstances individually, as a nation, as a people, as a world, that bear witness to the truth. You know, since we last were on the air together, I believe 3 weeks ago now, or 2.5 weeks ago, what are the chances that the minister records these programs a few weeks in advance? The week that he makes mention of the Pope resigned.
Right.
The week that he makes mention to watch the weather, hours after he speaks, something happens in the weather. These are things, as our brother just mentioned, we've been going to churches, whether we believe in that the minister is a divinely guided man or not, most of our people and the majority of people on the earth go to some church, some temple, some mosque, some place where we believe that change is coming. But before that transition happens, whether it's the ancient writings of the Maya, whether it's ancient Kemetic language and ancient African stories and histories and religious expressions, though they may not call them religious, but you understand what I'm saying, all of our people, all of our cultures point to a time and a place where all of the world that we currently live in is going to converge, and then something new and better is supposed to come out of it. But it all is based upon the entering of a new knowledge or dissemination of knowledge in that time period, and God acts in that time period through a servant that he chooses. So it's not by accident that there is only one man standing up in America to teach the time and what must be done, and that's the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He ended the last program telling us to watch the program. He said it to black and to white, to Mexican and Hispanic, everyone, listen to the program. Dialogue about the program. Why dialogue? Because we have to now start dealing with these truths that are so
evident and are becoming so crystal clear as he delivers them, God is punctuating his point that this is my man, and what he's telling you is the truth by answering every word that comes from his mouth in the events, in the society, in the things that are happening, so that we will not only have just the option of adhering to his advice for us to dialogue and come together and listen and parse his words, but he's going to force us to face the reality of those words so that we may know that he is true and he represents the truth from the all-knowing, all-wise God. How else would our people become out of this type of confused world where they kill leaders of other nations, subtly and overtly? How else could we come out of this confused society where we don't know who should marry who, what is right, what is wrong, who should we vote for, where should I send my children to school, why is gas so high, how come the food isn't as nutritious as it used to be, how come Burger King is selling me horse meat, all of these things that are going on, and I don't mean to be so passionate about it, but we have to be passionate about it.
Yes.
When we realize the reality of the time we're living in and that our people are literally dying and that God's man is going back and forth to and fro on using all means available to him. Not only did he speak on Sunday in Chicago and speak the whole weekend, but then he comes right back on Friday and speaks at St. Sabina Church, comes back on Saturday and speaks in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Saturday evening, we watched the program. Then he's leaving the country. I watched at least 4 hours of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan speaking today. And that's what I got to see, not to mention the untold hours and meetings and private dialogues that he has, inspiring and touching people to do what? To follow him, to worship him, to adore him? No, to follow God and to make a change in our life. And he's such a beautiful human being and loves us so much that he's really driving the point home. He doesn't want to see us suffer. He does not want us to suffer only after the judgment and we experience the heat of this enemy. He wants us to make a conscious decision and get in front of the judgment. He's inviting us into the ark of protection, into the city of safety, into the house and place of refuge, which is the only place that it can be found, is in obedience to the will of God. And that's what he's driving us for, and the points that he keeps driving for, warning the enemy and warning us who are in love with and trust this enemy to let him go. And I thought, again, going back to point eight, that's part number eight, he said it outright to the enemy, this is the last time that I talk to you. And that should be a clear distinction and sign for us that if he's through with the enemy, it's time that we be through with everything about his world and start making steps to get out of it. And the steps have been laid before us, the beginning of that exodus out in the economic blueprint of Muhammad.
All right. Let me, Brother Tony.
Yes, sir.
Let me address you this way. The okay. Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in point, part eight, he talked about the time, 1914 being the end of Satan's rule. But the clock didn't begin to tick on the grace until 1935, after Master Farad Muhammad made his man for the mission, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He talked about from 1935 to 1995 was the 60 years of grace, which embarked on the Million Man March. Then we were given a 10-year extension to 2005. What say you, where are we right now, sir?
Well, right now he said that 2013, if we add up the numbers 2 and the 1 and the 3, well, it's a 6.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing the judgment hitting us harder already this year than in any years past. We see Satan planning. We see the enemy planning today, but Allah is planning as well, and he is the best of planners. We see so much of a strong pull on the part of the enemy. This is the time of separation.
Yes.
The Obama administration several times stopped the tobacco companies from increasing its nicotine levels in cigarettes. It's been increasing since the 60s. Today, cigarettes are actually more addictive than, say, crack. If you take a look at people that get hooked on cigarettes, it's harder, much harder now to quit cigarettes than it was in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s because of the high nicotine levels. Likewise with everything else that the enemy has been orchestrating in the foods, they have a more adverse effect on us today than ever before. High fructose corn syrup having an effect on our bodies. In high fructose corn syrup, you can find it in practically everything, causing diabetes. You know, and how many of our people today are affected by diabetes? It's related to the deviation of the lifestyle that we are engaging in. We're not thinking about the foods that we are consuming. This is the time of separation in which we have to be mindful of the food that we eat. How often do we pray? How often do we devote ourselves to study? How often do we go out and teach our people? The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in part 7, he said that when he met the Honorable Minister, when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan met the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for, I believe it was the first time, he said to him, "You remind me of David." No, it was not for the first time, I believe, but I think it was when he spoke at Savior's Day, and he told him that he reminded him of David, who was after the heart of God. Well, that's how hard we should be seeking the heart of God today. He was laying out an example for us as to how we should be today in our alignment with him.
Mm-hmm.
He said these words. He said, "You can't deliver this message afraid. Too many of us are hiding the fact that we are Muslims, almost like we're ashamed of it, or we have some kind of fear that something is going to happen to us if we reveal it at our jobs or anywhere that we go in society.
Yes.
There's going to be some kind of consequence. Right now is not the time for us to be scared. We are going to be experiencing loss, loss of jobs, loss of finances, loss of family, loss of health, loss in every endeavor. And so we have to face this reality and do whatever we can to prepare ourselves, our families, for what is to come. And that coming is already here. We see it right before our eyes. I believe the government, the other day, President Barack Obama said that they're planning to cut, I don't know how many billions of dollars from the budget. I don't have the numbers right in front of me right now, but it was an astronomical amount, which is going to lead to more cuts in terms of employment. Particularly in the school system in Miami-Dade, there's talk about laying off more teachers. Well, what was that going to lead to?
Yes.
More overcrowded classrooms, more classrooms where the children are not going to be learning. And the more ignorant these children become, the more swayed they will become to the world, and the more swayed they will be to the streets, and which will, of course, lead to the further to the prison, further development of the prison industrial complex, and also the military, as they will be seeking to join the military more. There will be no more jobs in America that our people could find. Right now, it is time to align ourselves with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, much more so than ever before, and find out how we can avert all these horrible things that are happening to America right before our eyes. Start doing for ourselves. Start getting into the practice of owning our own businesses, investing in farmland for the benefit of ourselves, our family, and our people.
Beautiful, beautiful, Brother Tony. Brother Kenneth, what say you, sir? What stuck out at you
at
the time and what must be done?
Yeah, the comments from the brothers have been beautiful.
Awesome,
When I listen to the minister, I listen to the brothers and put all everything into perspective. I always try to put it in the larger context that Allah, there's a timeline. There was an original plan that he had put together. And sometimes I think people can listen to conversation about doom and gloom and judgment and hard
yes.
time chastisement and then put their head down and say, oh, man, you know, is there any hope? And and don't see where it fits and what the reasoning is and what the planning is, et cetera. And in order for me to really describe how I see what the minister is saying, I have to put it in that larger context of the plan. In both the Bible and the Holy Quran, it ends with believers being happy, being successful, being prosperous, and being in really paradise. And it ends with people that no longer have in them envy, jealousy, hatred for each other, murderous thoughts, sinful thoughts, and all of that, which means that if the end is people of that type, and today the people have all of these negative characteristics, somewhere between where the people are and where the people are going to be, something's going to happen to change everyone. So where all of this fits is in the larger plan to change people. It's simply a plan. Now, if you and I are already changed, then there is no reason for the plan to work on us in the same way that it would have to work on people that have not already gone through the necessary change.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember a lecture that Brother Jibril did over probably 30 years ago now. Not that I heard it then. I have the tape. And it's one of those old beat-up tapes that you listen to 100 times and you pull it out when certain things happen and listen to it again. It's one of those type. And for the listeners that don't know who Brother Jibril is, Brother Jibril is one of the brothers, the ministers, that was blessed to study directly under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, lived in his home for a while, and has been instrumental over the years in guiding the believers in understanding of Scripture because of that direct teaching and that he was blessed to receive.
Absolutely.
And he was saying 30 years ago what would happen to the believers, those that are in the nation in particular. And he talked about a time period where it's going to look like there isn't any progress. It's going to look like nothing's going to happen. And then he talked about how we were going to get to a point, the words he used was, where we hear the footsteps of our Lord coming. And he said, mm-hmm. he used the word funky. He said, we're going to get our acts together, funky though we had become, meaning that we weren't, it's going to look like there's no progress for a certain period of time. And we're basically going to be in a trifling condition. But things are going to happen where we hear the footsteps of the Lord coming. And there are things in Scripture that verify that, where a believer knows, oh, wait a second. I've been studying. I've been reading. I've been listening to the lectures. I've been doing all of these different things. And the believer is different than the non-believer when certain events happen because of what's stored in them. Because putting certain things into you causes a different thing to come out of you when certain events come up, when certain time periods come up. And so we would get to a certain point, those that have really tried to get into the message in righteousness and do right, where we would know, even though we didn't live up to what we knew we were supposed to be, okay, it's really time for me to get it together. And the life circumstances and events help us to eventually become what the New Testament describes as these apostles, where the larger population is affected by people that really have a spirit that the general population doesn't have. So we're going to get to a point where the general population is transformed, but even before that, where you have a select group, particularly 144,000 that are stars that will be special, that will be able to teach the larger population. So I said all of that to say this, that what we have been going through, the events and things that we've been going through and all of these struggles, as people that try to come out of this world's way of life into the way of life of God, the way of life of righteousness, it's like the first night when Prophet Muhammad got the revelation. They say that the whole Quran was placed on his heart in that one night. You know,
mm-hmm.
when they say that the Quran was revealed during the month of Ramadan, it was placed on his heart. But over a 23-year period, he went through events. And as he went through a particular type of thing, the revelation that was really in him already came out. And then you see the text of the Holy Quran coming out for him to give to everyone as he goes through the events that match that particular revelation. Well, the same is similar to us, to Muhammad's of today. People from the different place that they are in their life are putting into themselves this message, the truth from Almighty God Allah. We become different even though we may not necessarily feel different, but the time period that we're in, events are happening, and things are going to come out of us that aren't going to come out of other people. So when the minister goes through and describes these last years and where exactly we are in time, the thing that's in my mind is not just doom and gloom on the general population, but it's also the believer dusting themselves off and hearing the footsteps of the Lord. I believe right. that the believers are right now saying, oh, man, here it's coming.
Right.
And it's slowly happening where people that knew they should have been praying are starting to pray. People
right.
that knew they shouldn't have been eating bad are starting to get their eating together. People are
mm-hmm.
dusting off books. People are saying, okay, I knew what I should have been doing, and I am different than those that haven't even prepared at all. And now
right.
I got to go through those final stages to help the rest.
Okay. Okay. Praise be to Allah. Brother Abel, sir, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan also, as you tie in what you're getting ready to talk about, he also talked about justice is the weapon that God will use against the wicked. What say you to that point, sir? Where are we right now? What should we be doing right now with this justice as the weapon that God will use against the wicked?
Well, brother, as brother was just saying, I think it's time that those who may have been tinkering too close or not making a definitive enough stance and taking a clear posture on which one we were going to be, I think the time and the circumstances are going to force us to get on either one side or the other of this fence. This is not a time where we can stay in the stands and watch the drama play out, or we can try to ride the fence and avoid being this or that. All truths must be made known in this day and in this hour. And justice
right.
isn't just for the enemy.
justice in this hour, if we see what's been happening in our own individual lives as believers, as so-called, not just members of the Nation of Islam, I'm talking about people all over the planet. The time and the circumstances in which we live, when we make a wrong move, we're feeling the recompense of it quicker, which lets us know that judgment is across the board. God is judging the world today. And in particular, those of us who would like to be on the right side of that equation, as Brother mentioned, there's things that we were supposed to have been doing all along. And God, at the last little, as the door is closing, and there's still a little opening for us to decide and get out from under his judgment, we should and must start to do better and be better as we know we should have in the beginning. Mm-hmm. When we hear the word, our own nature, even if Minister Farrakhan had never taught us, our own nature gives us a sense of right and wrong. But then after clear proof, clear instruction, clear guidance has come to us, we have no excuse except that we decide to do what we know is other than right. And there's going to today be an instant, immediate ramification for that, because we're in the hour where God is present judging. He's not coming to judge at a future time. We're in the judgment right now. And it's interesting to me because we're feeling it, and you can see that the enemy's feeling it, because God is trying to get us out of the way so he can deal with the enemy, but we're in the way, and he's come and chosen us as the original people, as the black, the aboriginal, and indigenous family of the planet Earth, yet we keep running in the way of what God is trying to do. And when I say running in the way, I mean by following the ways of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
We're so wrapped up in the world that if God were to eliminate the world, he'd have to eliminate us right with it, and that's the danger of the hour we're in. We
right.
must make a conscious, clear decision, and I thought it was very interesting, but if you go back to week number 7,
mm-hmm.
the minister made the statement, and I was reminded as Brother Kevin was speaking, that the minister said that he wants to have the chance, unhindered, to teach the time and what must be done to every black man, woman, and child in America. And after we teach that subject, then we should take a vote as to how many of us want to stay with our open enemy or how many of us want to be separated from in a land of our own.
Yes.
That is a clear and very direct statement.
Did we lose our brother?
I believe we did.
Okay, okay. He'll be back. He'll be back. He'll be back. Brother Tony, let me come to you with this.
Yes, sir.
As we move into the time and what must be done. There seems to be so much going on at one time.
Yes, sir.
What say you to this? We're talking about bringing a people out of America into a land of their own.
Yes.
At the same time, we're talking about the end of Satan's rule, 1914. At the same time, we're also talking about the 50,000-year universal change. What say you, sir? What say you to all of the events that you see happening at the same time?
First of all, I would say, my God, my God. So much. Wow.
Yes.
First and foremost, I absolutely love what some of the things, in fact, all of the things that Brother Kenneth mentioned just a few minutes ago.
Yes.
There are some things that Brother Kenneth mentioned that just, they're just so much in line with how the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been teaching us how we should correspond to one another as
mm-hmm.
believers. I'm starting first within the house.
Okay.
You know, because how we treat one another in the house corresponds to the way that we would treat our people outside of the house. Because we are all one people. We
right.
are all members of the Nation of Islam, whether we're registered or not registered. We are the Nation of Islam, and we have to have that kind of mindset. It can't be a judgmental mindset for those that are not practicing
the teaching, because they simply don't know, or they haven't been acquainted the way that we've been acquainted. So we have to ask ourselves, are we ourselves studying the man fully that is in our midst today? The man in our midst today, God's man, taught us a few years ago that we should be having dinner in each other's homes, having meetings in each other's homes, just congregating with one another, learning how to be family. And we have to ask the question why that is. We are preparing for some times that are going to be very hard. Some of us already are unemployed and need to huddle up with one another for support. We have to view each other that way because we are family. We have to view each other as family. For us to survive in this time, we have to view one another as family. So that's why we must congregate with another on a stronger level, on a much more frequent level. If you take a look at the stories of Noah and the story of Lot, as we are taught that as it was in their time, it is in this time with the coming of the Son of Man. Well, Noah's family survived. And so that story of Noah prefigures what would happen in the time of the Son of Man. Likewise, in the time of Lot and his family. Well, his wife did not survive, but he survived with his daughters, and that is family. And that prefigures what would happen in this time. It's a sign to us that the ones that would end up surviving within the house, that would continue to propagate these teachings after the teacher would be absent from our midst, who would continue propagating the word? Who would continue teaching the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad and going out and saving our people, saving the multitudes of our people? It is a people that would be likened unto family. That's how we should be corresponding to one another in this time.
Yes.
If we are not living in accordance to that, we need a serious checkup from the neck up.
That's right.
If we would take a look at the book Closing the Gap, which are recorded interviews with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, recorded interviews by Brother Jibril Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan makes reference to there being a time warp and in terms of how many of us view him. And it's very clear that some of us are still in that gap of time in which we view him still in the way that we viewed him back in the 1990s or back in the 1980s. And so that is not in line with the time today. Some of us still think on a nationalistic level, and it's impeding us from following the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan fully to where he is today. Take a look at where he's guiding us today. It's not like how it was in the 80s or 90s. There are certain things that he's brought to us so that we could wrap our minds as to where we are right now and see how we can align ourselves fully with him. We have the signing of the Form Force, which that in itself, but dear brother, I'm going to speak for myself in this. There was a whole lot of weight on my mind in signing that Form 4.
Yes.
Just thinking myself, where have I been in deviation? Where have fallen short of the glory of God? Where have I fallen short of where the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has guided us to go? So that laid a lot of pressure on my mind.
Yes.
We also have the study of Dianetics, which is designed to improve our mental health, because we are coming in to the house now with so many ailments. We have been coming into the house with so many ailments because of the strong pull from the world. Well, now it's time to disattach ourselves from that strong pull of the world, and he's coming up with different ways in which we can do that. If we were just to submit to the program that he's presenting to us in our midst today, the way he's presenting it to us, then we could learn how to become more like family. We could develop a stronger affinity to one another, and it will ensure the survival of our nation.
Beautiful, beloved. Beautiful, as always. Brother Attorney Kenneth Muhammad,
yes,
you still there? Can you give us your closing argument, sir? You have about 2 minutes. Can you give us a closing argument on this tonight, please?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The verse that comes to mind, I don't have the exact text in front of me, but in the Holy Quran, it talks about how in this time that we're going into, there would be people that would come to the believers asking to borrow some of their light, and that the believers would have to say back to
them. Yes, sir.
Now, for anyone that has been taking advantage of the presence of divine truth and the presence of divine revelation and instilling it into yourself and changing things about yourself, changing things about your life, in a time of darkness, which is the time we're going in right now where we're talking about all these things happening, you have light. You have what you've stored up in yourself for that time period. Now, the reason the Holy Quran says that some would have to go to others trying to borrow light is because they don't know the time. They won't know what's happening. They won't know what moves to make. They won't know, like what the brother just said, about dealing with food-related issues and all of these things. The revelation is here, and there's a short window of time to fill up on this light. You know, to fill up the lampstands, or you know, there's a lot of different parables about ways that this is described. But the minister said essentially that that grace has ended. That means that we are already in the time period where the full consequence of our actions or the consequence is going to be felt. That's going to intensify. And so because of it, we need to take advantage of the short window of time that we have to still go back and study up on things, go and take time to improve on things, fast, pray, and improve ourselves while there's still time.
Beautiful. Thank you, sir. Thank you for coming out tonight. Brother Abel, sir?
Yes, sir.
Can you close us out, sir? You have about 2 minutes, sir. What say you?
Yes, sir, but I just wanted to close by thanking you and all who are listening and the brothers who are sharing all that we can to help our people, ourselves, and the minister in getting this message to the masses of our suffering people. And I just wanted to close, if I could, by mentioning, of course, the passing of our beloved friend and brother, President Hugo Chavez of Venezuela,
yes,
who passed today.
Yes.
And it's not by accident. If we hear the reports, and I want to thank Brother Abraham Sharif for sending me reports from Mexico and from Latin America, where I don't know if you've heard, but the Vice President of Venezuela has said that they will bring scientists together, for they feel that the cancer that Brother President Chavez had was an attack, or one that was given to him, and they plan on proving this, if it is the case, by the use of science. And they've also kicked out a American consulate emissary from the country because they found him guilty, or they have found or discovered that he was meeting with members of the Venezuelan military trying to destabilize the country upon the passing of the president. So you and I may not be hearing this here, but inshallah we'll be hearing it about it in the new final call that comes out.
All praise is due to Allah.
It's important that we know that the hour is ever increasing in darkness, yet we are the moral rightness and people who are seeking obedience to God that will be a light to our people, black people, indigenous people, the original people, not just in America, but all over the planet, because the righteous are now found in every last corner of the planet, and we have to keep teaching this truth and raising up the man that is teaching us the time and what must be done. And I thank you, dear brother, and all of those who help contribute to us trying to help this man in the mighty mission and assignment that he has accepted from God on behalf of our people. So thank you, thank you, thank you, dear brother.
Thank you, sir. Brother Tony, you got 1 minute, sir. Would you like to close this out tonight, sir? You want to take
oh,
1 minute or two? Or two, if you go two, it's all right.
I'll
yes, sir.
I'll
go
be,
on and take us home.
I'll be,
I'll be very brief, and I'm very thankful for you for continuing this very program. Thank Allah for you for continuing this very beautiful program, Brother Abel, of course, as always. Always a blessing to be on the phone radio program with you, dear brother, and Brother Kenneth. It's a pleasure being on the program with you, the beloved, and everyone that is on listening. It's a blessing to just have you listening in and just engage in this dialogue.
Yes.
If I could share this quote from President Hugo Chavez.
Yes, sir.
In light of what our beloved brother, Abel, had just mentioned, he said these words. I posted up on my Facebook page. No part of the human community can live entirely on its own planet with its own laws of motion and cut off from the rest of humanity. Right now, we need to be teaching the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the way that we see the God's man in our midst today, teaching it, going out into the Caribbean. Once again, and I'm going to emphasize this point, he said that you cannot deliver this message afraid, you know, afraid of the consequences. And so we can't go around teaching this afraid of what our people may think as to, you know, them now finding out that we're Muslims. We can't take that approach and expect to be successful. We have to be able to prepare ourselves to take these teachings in whatever language that we are speaking, whether it's Espanol or we parle Creole or Francais or whatever language it is, and go to our people in the same spirit, in the same methodology that our beloved minister is doing today. And because that will guarantee our success. When they see us, they will see the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. They will see the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And he is preparing us for that success by his example. We just have to tune in and continue to tune into this wonderful message and wonderful program that he has for us, the time and what must be done. Keep up with him every time that he speaks, whether in Belize or anywhere in the Caribbean or here in America, anywhere that he's speaking, we should be tuning in to our beloved minister.
Thank you, sir. All praise is due to Allah, sir. Thank you so much, Brother Tony, Brother Abel, and also Brother Kenneth Muhammad. That's going to be our show for tonight, brothers and sisters. Let's ride, Brother Rafi. Well, we want to thank Sister Charlene Muhammad, Famas Maryam, Sister Andrea, Sister A.T., and, of course, our Sister Gidget Muhammad and the brothers, Brother Abel, Brother Tony, and Brother Kenneth. Next Saturday at 6 o'clock p.m. CST Central Time, Hear the Time and What Must Be Done, Part 9, by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Also, next Sunday, join us, the Nation of Islam webcast at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time at www.noi.org. To purchase the Savior Day message, Muhammad's Economic Blueprint Against Poverty and Want, by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, just go to www.finalcallstore.com. On Twitter, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said these words, and I quote, "America is for sale, but we're not owning it. We have to have land, and there is no compromising this." To help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan raise $10 million to acquire land that we may feed our people and take our mouths out of the enemy's kitchen, just go to www.noi.org/donations and help the leadership that has been backing you for over 50 plus years. Question: how long are we going to continue begging the rich man for the crumbs from his table? How long are we going to continue begging the rich of America to do justice by our people and treat us like he treats his own? It's time now that we stop begging for America's jobs and wealth and nearness to the children of our former slave master and get up, build, and do something for ourselves. a word from the messenger Messiah, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, when he said, it's no time to sit down or lay down. It's time to get up and go to work. We love you, dear Apostle, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and we pray for your safety, you and the delegation, as you travel abroad. Original salute to our Supreme Captain Mustafa Farrakhan. We won't be here next week. We have a National Believers meeting with the Nation of Islam, but on the 19th, we will be back by God's permission. So may Allah bless us. Stay strong. And let's soldier, brothers. Let's get that number one newspaper into the hands of the people. We love you all. May Allah bless us all. Assalamu alaikum.